Transmission start. Welcome to Where Did the Road Go? Join us as we wander off the path and explore lost history, consciousness, the paranormal, unexplained mysteries, alternative thought, and much more. We are present on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com. Now here is your host, Soraya.
Greetings, and I'm going to start this show off with an apology. Both to you people listening and to my guest on this short show here, Austin Keeling, the writer, producer, director of a great movie called House on Pine Street. And not only do we talk about the movie here, but we talk about some of his experiences. He's a twin. He's had a lot of paranormal experiences in his life. It's a great interview, and I did it way back on December 16th of 2016, and then it just kind of ended up in limbo. And I am sorry about that. I'm sorry to Austin and everyone listening, because I really wanted to get this out right away. I was really happy with it. It was a really interesting interview, and it's taken me till May to get this done. So I am sorry about that, but check out the movie, The House on Pine Street. It's really good. It's really, really good. And here's my conversation with Austin Keeling. And I am talking with Austin Keeling, the writer, director, and producer of The House on Pine Street. And this movie, I liked this movie a lot. It's a really creepy ghost story with a very original twist in it, in a very realistic way. How are you doing tonight, Austin?
I'm doing very good, thanks.
All right. This is your first movie.
Yes. Yes, it is. Our first feature.
Okay. And tell people a little bit about it.
Okay, sure. The House on Pine Street, it is a psychological horror, and it's about a young woman, Jennifer, who returns to her hometown in Kansas after suffering a mental breakdown that's brought on by a pregnancy that she's not really ready for. She moves into this kind of creepy, crumbling old house close to her mother's house so that her mother, Meredith, can kind of help watch over her during these final few weeks of her pregnancy. And so it's about her kind of dealing with, this strained relationship with her husband and this kind of new proximity to her overbearing mother and dealing with, being pregnant with a child that she's not really, that excited about having. And on top of all that, it turns out that the house she moves into, some creepy stuff starts happening, and she soon begins to think that it may be haunted. Kind of goes from there. So it's a very psychological, very, we like to call it a classy horror film. It's kind of inspired by a lot of the classics from like the 70s. Not a lot of gore, but very heady kind of a psychological horror.
And the twist at the end is very realistic to parapsychological research, which you don't see a lot in films like this. In fact, you usually see the opposite.
Right.
And I really, really appreciated that. It was a good film up to that point anyway. And then when you did that at the end, I was like, oh, that was fantastic.
Well, I'm glad you think so. Yeah, we definitely, very early on in the writing process, my brother and I, and then our co-producer, co-writer, Natalie Jones, we talked about how we really wanted to imbue this film with a sense of realism, or as real as you could get when dealing with something, as far out there as the paranormal and stuff. And so my brother and I grew up in a house in Kansas that we thought was haunted. And we never had a psychic come in and tell us, what we needed to do to get rid of the ghost. We never had any clear answers. And that's very unlike what you see in most movies where, three-fourths of the way through the film, someone comes in and says, okay, this is who's haunting your house. This is how they died. This is why they're pissed off. This is what you got to do to get rid of them. And then it's just, complete the tasks, ABC. It's kind of a procedural film after that. And I don't think that's really how most people who experience the paranormal, how that goes down. So we talked a lot about that, and we definitely wanted to try to bring this kind of realistic, or more realistic anyway, approach to it.
And you in the film, they do bring in a sort of psychic, but a far more realistic psychic. And he doesn't give them the blueprint to fixing everything.
Right. Yeah. And that was something, it was really interesting while we were, working on the script in Kansas. We met several very interesting people around the area who were, lending us their homes, lending us their furniture for props and stuff like that. And we met someone who didn't really claim to be a psychic, didn't really claim to be a medium, but did claim to, you know, be in touch with that kind of side of things. And it was so interesting meeting someone who was kind of on that, you know, spectrum of stuff, and who believed that they could contact the other side, if you will, but wasn't an authority on it, you know, who wasn't like, just because they had that ability didn't mean that they knew all the answers. And so, yeah, we were really inspired by that and wanted to write a medium character who came in. And you think, as an audience member, and even Jennifer, the character thinks, you know, okay, cool, my problems are solved, you know, and it doesn't really quite go that way.
Now, how did this all come about? How did this movie, where did it start, in a sense?
Yeah, so my brother and I grew up making short films. We were always really in love with horror. David Lynch was a huge inspiration for us when we were young. And then out of that kind of grew, you know, a more supernatural kind of thing, especially when we, you know, the house we grew up in, we thought was haunted. And so we've always been kind of, you know, really attracted to the haunted house story. And so, yeah, we met our best friend, Natalie Jones, and we all went to college. Austin and I went to film school at USC, and the three of us talked and decided that once we graduated, we were going to just go for it, just see what we could do. So we graduated and moved back to Kansas, and we wrote for 8 months. And right after that, we were like, let's just go into pre-production. We didn't have the money. We just kind of, we got a Kickstarter. We asked friends and family, scrounged up whatever we had, and things just fell into place. And then we shot in April and May of 2014 and edited for the rest of that year. And then all of last year, 2015, we were taking the film out to film festivals all over the road. And then now it's out. We got a distribution deal. It was kind of like the dream scenario. It was one of those things, we kind of walked into it not knowing how it would go or exactly how we would do it. But yeah, we couldn't be happier with how it all came together.
And where can people see it?
So it's out right now digitally. So it's out on iTunes. It's on Amazon Instant Video. It's on YouTube and Vimeo on demand, PlayStation, Xbox, Vudu. And you can rent and buy the film from all of those locations. And then we are working with our U.S. distributors right now to secure a physical DVD release sometime early next year.
So I think it's needless to say you're happy with the way it came out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the three of us who wrote it together, as we were writing it, we kind of realized, you know, we're like, there's a chance that this could go nowhere. You know, we could spend all this time and energy and money and effort, and then it could just be this little home video that we show our friends and family. And so, you know, just the ability to take it out last year on the road to film festivals and show it to, you know, new audiences in all these different places was an incredible experience. It was so amazing just hearing from people and hearing from so many different types of people, their interpretations of the film and what was important in the film to them and how it, you know, struck them and stuff. And now to think that it's out there and anyone in the US can, you know, get on the computer and get it. It's a really scary thing, but it's also just really awesome. And yeah, we couldn't have asked for a better experience.
So tell me a little bit about the haunted house you believe to live in.
Yeah, well, it was never quite as dramatic or as dangerous as some of, you know, what you see in this movie, or certainly what you see in, you know, most haunted house movies. But yeah, we grew up in a house that was built in the 1800s, and it was in Leavenworth, Kansas, which is the oldest city in Kansas. And we were there until we were about 12. My brother and I are twins. And we just experienced all sorts of weird stuff going on. You know, it was usually basic stuff, like the TV would turn off and on, you know, lights would, turn on and off, and then the doors would open and close, really standard stuff like that. But then every once in a while, there'd be something that was just like really weird. Like we had this staircase that was kind of a spiral staircase, kind of, and there was a chandelier hanging over it. And there were three bulbs in the chandelier, and no matter which one burnt out, it would project a shadow onto the wall that looked exactly like a man hanging from a noose. And so, you know, me and my brother at 12-year-olds would be freaked out, and my parents would be like, oh, no, it's just a trick of light. Don't worry about it. And, you know, stuff like that. And we would record these little radio shows as kids where we would have like, you know, those old tapes and stuff. And we would just record our voices kind of being goofy. And when we would go back and listen to them, sometimes there would be these really strange voices that were there too. And I remember this one was particularly scary, where in the middle of this thing we had recorded, there was this deep voice that came in and laughed really loudly and said something. I don't exactly remember what it said, but it freaked us out so much that we showed our parents. And I remember our parents being like, oh, that was nothing, that was nothing. But then later that night, they ripped the tape apart and threw it away. And now that we're adults and we talked to them about it, they're like, oh yeah, that house was definitely haunted. There was some weird shit going on there. So yeah, I don't know. I kind of miss living there because it was kind of cool. You know, sometimes stuff would happen that, you know, it was like, whoa, this is really wild. But I'm also now, as an adult human, I'm terrified of everything. So I'm really glad.
You said your brother's your twin, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and he ever have any kind of like psychic episodes where you know what the other's thinking or know when the other's in trouble or anything like that?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot less glamorous than what people assume it will be, but we do just kind of operate on the same wavelength, and so it's really wild. I'll be thinking something and he'll come into the room and say exactly what I'm thinking. Or I'll be, you know, singing a song in my head, and then in the next room, he'll start singing the song out loud, stuff like that. We're just kind of always in sync with each other. But I can't, as far as I can tell, there's never been a moment where I've like been able to read his mind or anything. So.
Right, right. It's just kind of like you're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Did that help in making the movie?
It did. You know, we were really nervous with the idea of co-directing. Because, you know, we had co-directed short films before that and music videos and stuff, but this is a much different thing as a feature. And there's a lot of, especially from Emily Goss, who plays Jennifer, it's a really kind of tumultuous emotional, you know, ride for her. And so we were kind of worried about how we would, you know, operate on set, the two of us, but it actually ended up being one of those things too, where we were just on the same wavelength. So I would go over to one actor and give them notes for a scene, while he would go over to another actor and give them notes for a scene. And we would have discussed, the two of us, beforehand what we were going to say, but not tell the actors what the other ones were hearing. And so that way we could kind of see how they, you know, were played against each other with conflicting goals and stuff in scenes. But there were also many moments where I would go up to an actor and give a note that he had just given that actor, and they'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, actually that your brother said exactly that. So it was kind of nice that we were just very much on the same page from the very beginning. And so no matter where we were on set, whether we were talking to the actors or whether we were talking to the crew about, you know, setting up a shot, it we didn't both have to be there all the time because we knew exactly what we were going for. Yeah, so it was really cool. It was kind of like, yeah, it was like having another one of me on set who was able to work, which is really cool.
Now, how long did the actual filming take?
Well, so this was the biggest learning curve for us. We had this very optimistic schedule planned out where we were like, we're going to do it in 18 days and we're not going to take a single day off. We did it in 19 days, but we didn't take a single day off. And so like that was definitely the biggest mistake we made, because, you know, by day 10, we were just exhausted and, you know, we just had to keep pushing through. And so I'm amazed looking back at it. 19 days, it was a pretty quick shoot. But most days we wrapped on time. That last day that we went over, we just had to do a couple pickup things. But it was really wild because the entire crew and some of the cast members were all actually living together in the house where we shot the film. So it was like, you know, we would work all day together in the house, and then when we wrapped for the night, we were all there still, and we would all, you know, just get into our pajamas and, you know, go to bed together. It was wild.
Where'd you film it?
We filmed it in Independence, Missouri, which is just outside of Kansas City. And that was where the house was. And then some of the other locations were in the town that we grew up in, which is Leavenworth, Kansas. And we got really lucky with all these locations. Actually, the main house that we shot in was Natalie Jones, our co-producer, co-writer. She posted a Craigslist ad. We were having a really tough time writing at the very beginning of the process. And so we thought if we actually found a location that maybe it would be easier to write to that location. So she posted a Craigslist ad, just not really expecting much. And on the very last day before the Craigslist ad expired, we got this response from this guy named Frank Smith. And he had just bought this house that was built in 1840 on an auction. It was his second home. He wasn't living there. And he was like, if you guys want, you can come take a look at it. And we fell in love with it. And he gave us permission to move into the house because he wasn't there. And he let us paint. He let us put up wallpaper. He let us drill into the walls. I mean, it was one of those experiences where we could not have asked for a better location to shoot the film. So
nice. And I want to say, I mean, people will say, well, it's an independent film. It's probably not that good. I myself, when I look at these things, I like independent films, but there is a different distinction between the good and the bad in the independent scene, because sometimes you look at a movie and you say, oh, it's a film student movie.
Right.
Because it looks very bland. It's very by the numbers. Your movie does not look like that. Your movie looks this. I'm surprised this is your first movie. This movie looks great. The story is fantastic. As I said, I mean, it's a good, creepy, haunted house movie with a realistic twist to it. And that is something that I wish more people would do. Instead of taking like the big budget movies, take the Enfield Haunting, which was clearly a girl having spontaneous PK, and they turn it into a horror movie about spirits and all this other stuff. And it's like, why? Why do you need to do this? You know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, and I love a lot of the haunted house movies, the big budget ones. I really do. But yeah, it gets to a point where, you know, it just becomes this crazy, just all out, almost circus show of just like things jumping out and like, you know, let's come up with the weirdest, wildest shit that can go on. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, while that stuff is definitely scary, I think that, you know, some of the stuff that we tried to focus on for, you know, our scare sequences, it was more of the subtle stuff, more of the kind of insidious stuff that, you know, wasn't a ghoul jumping out from, you know, behind a whatever, you know, it was yeah, stuff that had happened to us before. And that was, you know, unexplainable and, but also so ordinary. And I don't know, I think that kind of juxtaposition of things was something that we were really trying to play with and see if we can make a scary movie that wasn't all, you know, wild, wild stuff. So
yeah, it's also a smarter approach to the material.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you had any experiences past your haunted house, like after you left home?
The thing is that what we joke about is that the three of us, it's weird that we're so into horror and that we made a movie about a haunted house, because we are legitimately terrified of everything. And no matter how new the building is, I mean, a building could have been built yesterday and I walk into it and I'll be like, this is haunted. Like, there's a ghost here. We're all going to die. This is the end of it. You know, I mean, like, it doesn't matter. So you put me into an old building, it's just like hope is lost. I've had a couple things, nothing really, you know, really crazy or really totally unexplainable. And I always kind of wish for those things. I always kind of want, you know, I'm willing for, you know, to have an encounter with the paranormal. But I know that the moment that I do have something that's really completely unexplainable and completely terrifying, I'll probably just spontaneously explode. I'll just die.
So nothing overt has happened to you. It's just the subtleties.
Most of the stuff is like, I remember that I lived in a dorm in college, and we had this hallway where our roommate lived at the end of the hall. And he always closed his door. And I remember I was home alone once and I was walking to the bathroom, and at the end of the hall, I saw that his door was cracked open a little bit. And I was like, oh, that's weird. He always closes his door. Why is it open? And right as I thought that, the door flew open and hit the wall. And so I just ran out of the apartment. And I didn't investigate. I just got the fuck out of there. And I was like, you know, who knows what it is? It could have been a breeze. It could have been anything. But, you know, in my mind, it was something unexplainable. And I I don't know. I never went back into his room after that. So
what are your future plans here?
Yeah, well, it's been a long journey with this one. You know, we finished the film completely. It was ready to screen and everything in December of 2014. So it's 2 years now. 2 years ago, we finished it. And we kind of, I remember as soon as we had our first cast and crew screening, we were just like, yes, this is it. We're ready to, you know, take it out to film festivals, but we're also so ready to get on to the next thing. But the whole festival process was so kind of time consuming and really just, I mean, it was an amazing experience. We were really passionate about it. And so we didn't get a lot done in 2015, but this year we've actually been working on three scripts. And we've kind of been waffling back and forth. We're working on three individual stories. And so we're in the process right now of just trying to kind of clean up and finish each one. And we have a couple investors who we're going to be talking to start moving forward with whatever, whichever one we decide is going to be movie number two. So, yeah, we've just been trying to write a lot, trying to move forward. We're really excited. We're hoping that sometime next year we're going to be able to start filming another film.
Is it going to be paranormal horror themed as well?
They are. All three of the ones we're working on are horrors, but they're all kind of in vastly different realms. One of them is our version of a possession movie. One of them is our version of a monster in the woods movie. And one of them is our version of a cult movie. So none of them are haunted house, but they are actually all three of them do involve a very high level of paranormal kind of activity stuff going on. So we're very excited about all three of them. So, yeah, like I said, it's just kind of our challenge right now is to figure out which one is going to be number two. And then, you know, we'll go to the other ones after that. So
nice. Yeah. Nice. So I look forward to that. And where can people find info about the movie online?
Yeah. If you go to, we have a very standard website just with links to where you can find it. So www.thehouseonpinestreet.com. You can also find us on Facebook, The House on Pine Street. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. I just go there. We post about all the release and stuff. And when we do get the DVD release early next year, we'll have all that information there as well.
And what made you decide on the name the House on Pine Street?
That is actually it's a weird story. We were writing it, and for the longest time, the final draft that we shot with was draft number 6. And so drafts 1 through 5 we jokingly called Untitled Truly Spooky Movie. And it was just kind of what we were going with. And finally, we were like, okay, we got to name this thing. And I had just gotten back from a trip to Louisiana where I was working on a documentary. And I had stayed in a bed and breakfast that was the oldest. It was located on the property of the oldest cemetery west of the Louisiana Purchase. And so I was staying in this creepy old house in Louisiana, and my bedroom window looked out onto the cemetery, and I was alone, and it was mortifying, and I didn't sleep a wink. And that house was located on Pine Street. It was a Pine Street in that city in Louisiana. And when we named it, we got confused, and I thought that Pine Street was the name of the house, or the name of the street where the house that we actually shot the film was located. So we're like, oh, let's just call it that for now, and if we come up with something better, we'll go with it. But when we actually got to the house to film, we realized it wasn't on Pine Street, and it took us a very long time to trace it back to that place in Louisiana. And yeah, I don't know. It just kind of stuck. For the longest time, we kind of thought we were going to change it, but it just stuck, and it became something that we liked. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Did anything weird happen while you were filming it?
Yes. And again, knowing me, I think every place is haunted. So I do think there was some interesting energy going on in that house. But since we were all living there, you know, there were a lot of times where after the shoot, we would all be sitting together kind of talking about the day. And there was this chandelier in one of the rooms that would always flicker, but it would only flicker when we were done shooting and when we were all sitting around talking under the chandelier. And so it spooked a lot of people. But I think the creepiest thing that happened was there's a seance scene, or a kind of pseudo seance scene, down in the basement where the character Jennifer and her friend Lauren go down into the basement with a candle, and they're kind of trying to contact the ghost. And while we were shooting that film, Natalie was down there, our producer, and the sound guy, CJ, who's amazing, he pulled Natalie aside at one point and he said, hey, can you run upstairs real quick and tell everyone who's upstairs to quiet down? Because my mic is picking up a bunch of conversations upstairs. So Natalie went upstairs, and there was no one upstairs except for Taylor Bottles, who's the actor who plays the husband, Luke. And he was sitting on a chair reading a book. And so Natalie went up there and said, please tell me you were just reading aloud or something or talking to yourself. And he was like, oh, no, I wasn't. And so they just like left the house and walked across the street and waited for us to finish the scene. So yeah, that was really spooky.
Did he record it by any chance?
He did, and we have the sound buried somewhere. We actually, and it does, it sounds like there's like this kind of just chattering, weird noise. There's one scene, too, in the film where Lauren comes to visit with her kid, Brad, and there's a scene where they're leaving the house, and Jennifer and her husband, Luke, are standing on the porch saying goodbye to them. And as Lauren is walking away, she's saying to her kid, she says, we're going, we're going. And there's this little tiny whisper that comes in at the end. It's a kind of, it's weirdly very, it's very echoey, and it's not her voice. It's coming from a different location on the mic too. And it repeats the line. It says, we're going, but in a whisper. And we looked at every shot. We looked at every scene. We could not find it. It was not the actress who said it. It was this other whispered voice. And it's actually, we kept it in the film. And it's really hard to hear, but we were just like, this is awesome. We have no idea what this is. So, yeah, I don't know. It was kind of cool.
I would have snuck the conversation stuff in the background somewhere.
Yeah, there's a chance, you know, during the party scene, I'm not sure. There's a scene where there's a housewarming party and he has a lot of chatter going on. Maybe he put it in there. I kind of hope he did. That would be awesome.
It would just seem fitting. You know, if you got something real while filming the movie, you might as well toss it in there.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right. So once again, the movie is The House on Pine Street. I highly recommend it. And and again, the website for it is?
www.thehouseonpinestreet.com.
All right. Thank you, Austin.
Yeah, thank you so much.